personal change can be difficult. And that is why many of us engage professionals who can help us through the challenging process of creating change.
Welcome to the Empowerment Zone with Ramona Houston, where we zone in on Black and Brown relations and our journey to empowering our communities.
In this episode, I am having an immensely valuable conversation with Dr. Ian D. Brooks, the founder and CEO of Rhodes Smith Consulting, a personal and professional development firm specializing in behavioral transformations. Dr. Brooks is also the author of the 2021 best self-help book, Intention, Building Capabilities to Transform Your Story. Are you currently working to create some type of personal or professional change? If so, learn from Dr. Brooks, who is sharing his expertise with us. He guides us through the steps we need to take to create lasting change. Hi, Dr. Ian Brooks. It's a pleasure to have you here on the Empowerment Zone. Welcome.
Thank you, Ramona. Pleasure to be here.
Well, I'm so excited about talking with you today. I'm really interested in your topic, intentionality and being intentional. And so before we get into that great topic, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into intentionality?
Sure. You know, one of the things that from an early age, whether I realized it or not, I was very intentional. To the extent that as a kid thinking about a place to go to college, and even the degree that I wanted to achieve prior to even getting there, was very purposeful. From a background standpoint, having my master's in clinical psychology and a doctorate in industrial organization psychology, from a very young age, I wanted to be a psychologist. And I was very intentional about, one, creating an experience for myself, both in where I went to school, but also how I was going to learn about myself. And I say learn about myself as an African-American male growing up in a predominantly white, affluent area, being able to be around others like me, other African-American males going through achievements, going through struggles, was extremely important to me. Thus, my intention of navigating and going to Morehouse College to get my bachelor's in psychology and then creating experiences of going to Auburn University of Montgomery and being in Montgomery, Alabama, you know, the home of the civil rights, and experiencing life of what it's like in the South in a different time and place, but not all that far removed. That was intentional around creating experience and building my own self, own knowledge, while also building my educational experience around being a psychologist and working with people who needed to just break even at that point, who were just trying to seek to be normal. That sense of intentionality also followed me to actually me moving to Los Angeles and getting my doctorate and working with higher functioning people, and I'll say air quotes, around how they can improve their stories. And it's led me on a path of self-exploration that when we think about intention, we think about it has to be these steps, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then I've achieved it or I'm checking things off a box. And while intention is partly that, intention is also about the expansion and the discovery of what we find through the experience. And as such, what I discovered about myself along my path of going to Morehouse, of going and getting my master's and doctorate, and now being a coach for others seeking their own truths, it afforded me an opportunity to write my own book, Intention, because it was so near and dear to my heart, both in how I see it playing out from a personal development perspective, but also my own personal journey.
You know, when you talk about self-knowledge and self-exploration, and for you, education was the first step in that process, you know, I just wonder, why did you choose Morehouse College? And for our audience, Morehouse College is a historically Black college located in Atlanta, Georgia, an HBCU, and is dedicated to educating, nurturing, and developing African-American men. And it's the only HBCU that's all male. So how do you think Morehouse contributed to that part of you, which was doing the self-exploration through education?
Yeah, Morehouse really established a solid foundation of what it was like at an independent level, what it meant to be a Black man. In particular, I grew up in a two-parent home. My parents went to Fisk University, and that's where they met. So for those who are unfamiliar with Fisk, it's another historically Black college and university out of Nashville, Tennessee. As part of one of their friends, who I just happened to, a family friend, actually went to Morehouse as well, and was very influential in me deciding to go to Morehouse, especially growing up in a majority affluent white area in Northern Virginia. I wanted to seek more diversity in my own thoughts and my own perspectives of who am I? Beyond what I see on TV, beyond what I read, beyond a history book, but really the culmination of like-minded, in this case, African-American men who are striving to achieve in a different form and setting than, say, what I maybe experienced when I was in high school or in those, you know, isolated events. And what was projected upon me by those who weren't African-American men or African-Americans in general. And by going to Morehouse, it afforded me a chance to be around like-minded individuals, but also around individuals who are drastically different than me.
Yes.
Right? It's not like we're all the same. As you might imagine, I'm clearly probably one of the lighter Black people that you've probably seen in your life, but that's part of the experience, right? And so what Morehouse really enabled from a foundation standpoint, just from the socialization perspective, offered me a greater sense of self. Now you couple that with the academic standards of which Morehouse affords its students. Coming from the rigors and really going into depth of things that we don't, from a history standpoint, as we were talking offline, I know you talk, you know, between socialism and historical aspects of communities. The reality is understanding what is our history, going in and talking about melanin, and what is the African-American diaspora? Not just what we experience in the day-to-day and what we see on social media. And at the time, there wasn't as much social media, but definitely so now. It isn't what we read in magazines or newspapers or what we saw on TV. It's really, what is the history, educationally speaking? That provided an expansion of my, one, education. It also expanded me as an individual. Not like I was held back because I didn't know what I didn't know, but what I was afforded an opportunity to learn was more about myself and where I came from. How do I now fit into this world within my own identity? Not to say it needs to be a one-to-one with what I read or the histories of which I was afforded. It comes down to who am I and what is my experience? And that leads us to building a strong foundation so that nothing is lost. Mm-hmm. And as I think about intention and growth, that really established a wonderful foundation over those 4 years, of which I've now been able to springboard and do so many other things.
Yes, I totally agree with you. Just taking it a step further, HBCUs do have a particular way of teaching African-Americans about ourselves. I am also a product of a predominantly white environment in Texas. And to go to an HBCU intentionally, to your point, and really explore myself, my own, and discover my own identity, as well as you talked about the discovery during the experience, that it really, really broadens your perspectives and makes you more of who you are. But intentionality you talked about is not just education, but your own life experiences. So let's move right into the book, Intentionality. Can you tell us about, well, you know, it's Intentional, right? The yes. name of your books. Yeah, excuse me, I want to say the right name, Intentional. What are the key points that you're bringing out in teaching people how to be intentional?
Yeah, I think one of the first things when I wrote the book, just from a background standpoint and even the subtitle, it's we're building capabilities. to improve our own story. And two words that, the one word that you brought out is intention, but the other word I'd like to harness is capabilities, because it's about our behaviors. It's about those things that are transferable, not just in one area. So as we were just talking about Morehouse and it being an HBCU of higher education for African-American men, the only one of its kind in the world, and the experiences we have, that experience transfers to just about every walk of my life, not just in a solely Black area. And so as we think about our own growth and our own development, and as I coach individuals from different backgrounds and different races and different genders and different perspectives, it's a function. This book offers an opportunity to provide clarity in the steps to transform your story based off of choice, based off of vulnerability, based off of expansion. It does this in several aspects. The first, it combines five different parts. And the first being, one is around discovery of what are your values? Who am I, right? Now, what am I really trying to solve? What is it about my story that I'm trying to rediscover and expand upon? The second piece, and we've touched upon it around that expansion piece just slightly, but I also have a specific chapter around the principle of you. The environment in which we grow up in, the which speaks to our people, places, and things that keep us safe and keep us in our boxes and keep us in one particular area of life. It formulates the characters that we walk around with within our own lives. And when I say characters, I'm not thinking about a job title. I'm not thinking about that I'm a brother or a husband or some other title that is bestowed us. When I say characters, I'm really describing who am I as a person. So am I Mr. Know-it-all because I'm, or Mr. Degree because I have a PhD, a master's, I have a bartending license, I have a personal training license. Oh yeah, and by the way, I have a license and certification in customer service. How does that define me? Not to say any one of those things are bad or being Mr. Degree is bad, but how does that influence who I am at my core? And how does that influence what I now decide to do and choose to move forward with? Now, that leads us to getting us a solid foundational discovery and a principle view. The third part is around, we plan around that. We plan around who I am and that choice. It's not paint by numbers. We all can Google something and see the five whys to do this or the five ways to do that or the 10 steps for that. But if it was that easy, we'd be changing tires. We're not changing tires. We're not painting by numbers. We're changing our story, and it has to be personalized. That leads us to the experience. And I talked about it with my own experience, right, of going to different colleges and creating new experiences for myself. It's about being in the moment and being conscious around what am I doing and making purposeful choice and feeling the emotion, feeling the experience, and being open to the possibilities, which is the last piece, which is attunement. Offering our chance to just stop and see where we've progressed. I believe through the book Intention that any successful personal transformation, be it from leaders changing new roles to joining different communities and creating openness and fear for ourselves, going to new environments, to even just doing weight loss, really starts with, and it has a foundation and sustained through the gift of knowledge. But that has to be purposeful. It has to be through clear steps. But that also requires us to be conscious about it. And that consciousness brings us to intention.
So look, I love this. The five areas: discover, the principle of you, plan around your story, experience, and attunement. Mm-hmm. So when people go through this personal transformation process in the effort to be intention, what do you feel like are the outcomes from the people that you work with? In other words, why should they be intentional? What is the why behind your work?
Sure. You know, there are two whys that are really stand out and even how I even came up with the book. The first is the why you should do this. If you really want to do something different. And oh yeah, by the way, history tells us that the one thing that we all are consistent with, irrespective of where you grew up, irrespective of social status, irrespective of title, irrespective of generations, the one thing we all do is evolve. Mm-hmm. But we do that unconsciously. Mm-hmm. But by intention, we are doing this with purpose. Mm-hmm. So the two things of the why, of the reason we should be working with purpose, number one, is that when we want to do something different, we have to put it to the forefront of our mind. We have to keep thinking about it. Now, what often happens, and the why comes down to the problem, and that what happens most of the time, if we have a problem, if we want something new, what do? We just jump to the plan, right? We say, yes, let's go. Give me the plan. Tell me the five things to do, and I'll do it. Just tell me what to do. The failure, or there are a lot of failures with personal transformation, but one of the biggest that I found with my coaching clients is their abilities to not really personalize it. Mm-hmm. But they were just looking for me to tell. They were looking to just do, to check a box. And especially the executives and people that I tend to work with, it's about their expansion. So guess what? They're already successful. So to get them to leave the things that they've already been doing very well, or to change those things, that creates vulnerability. Because when we jump directly to the plan, we're not addressing all the things that we think we're good at, but really aren't. Or the strengths that we've held on to that are no longer applicable for us to be able to move forward and grow. That's scary. So that's the first why. The second piece is, even if you get past that, even if you get past that planning and you hustle to get through it, your ability to sustain change will not be met because you didn't integrate it, or less likely to have integrated those new behaviors into who you now are. That integration, oftentimes, if you haven't done it, is in direct conflict for the things that aren't working, or in direct conflict to what you're trying to achieve. There's a reason why I have butterflies on my book. Not only do I like butterflies, but butterflies go from that chalice, right? That chrysalis, excuse me. And then they turn into the caterpillar, and then they get transform into the butterfly, into something else. When we're actually doing something else, we have to let go of a life. We have to let go of being that caterpillar and allow ourselves to be the butterfly, never to have returned. That doesn't mean the caterpillar is any less than. It just means it served its purpose. As I think about that second why of integration, oftentimes we don't allow ourselves to let go of being that caterpillar, that we still want to be the butterfly and the caterpillar. And because we haven't been able to integrate, and i.e. sustain, and we haven't built this into the fabric of who I am, and addressing some of the things that I'm good at that are holding me back from expansion, or the things that I'm not good at, it prevents me from really expanding. Thus, if we put it to the forefront of our mind of being intentional, intention also implies that we're actually thinking, that we're giving enough focus and time for ourselves to really put ourselves under a microscope from an analysis standpoint. I do this with myself all the time and my clients. One of the biggest things that they are most fearful of, and they always want to jump to the plan, is I always start with them on these plans with, what do you want and who are you? And what are you willing to do? If we don't have that, you're not living with intention. It's extremely important that we first delve into our self-identity and who we are before we can take any steps to improve on who we think we want to be.
You know, I totally agree with you on this whole why behind intention. You know, just to use an example that I was thinking of while you were talking was, you know, you talked about personalizing the plan. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you were talking about yourself or not, being a personal trainer, when you were giving examples of who you are. You know, I'm an avid health advocate. You know, mm-hmm. I work out every day, you know, eat nutritiously. And what I've found is the people, a lot of people who want to become healthy, or they want to lose weight or whatever, they just go and get a plan, like you stated. And don't personalize it for what works for them. You know, what type of foods do you like to eat? What type of workout do you like to do? You can't, like this morning I swam. You can't swim if you don't like to swim. Maybe you like to run. You know what I mean? So people are creating plans for their lives and they don't like, or, and they don't, it's not really personalized for them. And then the other thing about sustainability, you can't sustain something that's not a part of you. You know, it has to be a part of your lifestyle and who you are. And don't plan. I always tell my students, don't take an 8 o'clock class if you're not a morning person. You know, you gotta know what your life is. And so when you look about personalizing the plan for you, and if you want it to last, figure out what your lifestyle is before you get into it. And then the last thing, the last point I want to emphasize is your whole point about you have to let go of something to really move about change. A lot of times, you know, just taking the health example, we want to do this only for a certain amount of time. We still want that health, but we still want to do the things that we did before, you know, and we can't, it has to be, we have to let go of something in order to get something, you know? So that's I just wanted to say what my mind was thinking when you were talking about all of that.
Absolutely. And one of the bigger culmination points on that, that I just want to harness and really reinforce as well is sometimes that, not sometimes, oftentimes that also requires us to redefine what success means.
Yes.
By doing all of, when we personalize it, we're now saying, what am I willing to do? What am I now willing not to do? What am I willing to give up? What I'm not, what I'm not, and what can I sustain in my life? And that may look different than what we read in on Instagram or what we Googled and otherwise. As an example, I was working with a woman, by all accounts, a very successful woman. If you look, read her on paper, a psychiatrist, had her own wealthy, healthy business. Recently retired from working in the school system for 25 years, doing different project management activities and coming up with different programs. I was running an online business with, you know, creating cultural awareness across the nation and wanted to expand that. And oh yeah, by the way, she wanted to be retired. And her biggest problem was that she was overwhelmed. And I said, well, what are you willing to give up? What are you willing to give up? One of her bigger challenges was that she wasn't willing to give up certain things. She wanted to do it all because she felt that she couldn't give up anything. That came down to a lack of trust and what she was now heading off to in her, you know, online business, or what could she hand off from a therapy business or slow down therapy? Well, no, she wants to grow that. That's okay. Let's just be upfront about it. That's nothing wrong with that. But that also redefines what success means from a behavior standpoint of what it means to be overwhelmed. Let's redefine that, or put it, or define it in a realistic expectation of who you are and what you're willing to do. To your statement, we can't integrate what we don't own. We can't integrate what we can't live. We can't integrate what we're not committed to. And that starts up front. And for this particular person, if I were to bet, has she sustained those behaviors? I would probably guess no. She probably just hired more staff, which was not the solve.
Well, any other final points you want to share with us about intention and, you know, how our audience could actually purchase the book if they're interested? But let's close it out with, you know, why this book would be so important to their personal transformation.
Sure. There's two things that come to mind for me that really sparks importance, aside from the time of year that we're in, Not like we need the time of year to be the impetus for change, but sometimes mm-hmm. milestones offer us that opportunity to be thinking mm-hmm. about it. Mm-hmm. But one of the first things that I'd like to reinforce with your audience is that, number one, take a moment to just honor your path. Know your worth. Before we truly can become, we have to take accountability for who we are. And there's nothing wrong with that. Know that you're good enough. But if we don't take the right accountability up front, we're going to have a lot more challenges as we move forward. The second thing, and aligned to that point, is a quote by a gentleman by the name of Niccolo Machiavelli in his book, The Prince, that was originally published in 1532. Mm-hmm. He said, "He who does not build his foundations beforehand may by great abilities do so afterwards. But great trouble to the architect and danger to the building." Realize we all have a foundation. We can't judge the book based on the chapter we're walking in on. Realize we may need to adjust our foundations. But as we jump to our plans, we're skipping that foundation. Great, by great abilities, can you do it? Sure, because we always do it. But long term, it's going to be more trouble to you, the architect, and potential danger to who you are for yourself, in this case, your building, in the long run. So I suggest, you know, as you think about change, however you get there, realize that it starts with your intention. And this book is intended to be experienced, not just read. And for those who would like to purchase this book, which was voted the 2021 Best Self-Help Book of the Year by the Southern California Publicists Association. So if you'd like to purchase this book, it can be found on Amazon as well as on Barnes & Noble as Intention, Building Capabilities to Transform Your Story. Simply look for Dr. Ian D. Brooks. You can also find me on my personal business website. You can hear about this book and some of its reviews, as well as about different coaching opportunities, as well as testimonials at my website of rhodessmith.com. That's rhodessmith.com.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Ian Brooks. It is wonderful to have you and also to learn that you're a Morehouse man as well. I wish you the best for your book, Intention. And yeah, all of you out there who are really, we're in January, like Dr. Brooks stated, this is a moment when a lot of people are working to create change in their lives, personally and professionally, but you just don't do it in January. I know this podcast could be listened to later on in the year as the life of Malcolm X, El Hajj Malik Shabazz has taught us, at any moment in your life, you can change. And so it's all about intention, which Dr. Brooks has explained. So intention is key to long-lasting change. And so, Dr. Brooks, you were talking to us about change and attending school at Morehouse, and I went to school in Montgomery, correct, and mm-hmm. California. We've reached our college strategies portion of our interview. And so could you tell us what school or schools did you attend? Mm-hmm. What were your major or majors, your degrees, and what is that strategy you would share with students to ensure that they are successful in college?
Sure. So I've gone from a bachelor's perspective. I went to Morehouse College in Atlanta, Georgia. For my master's in clinical psychology, I went to Auburn University at Montgomery. And for my PhD in industrial organizational psychology, I went to Alliant International University in Los Angeles, California. From a certification standpoint, as from an education can be in a number of different facets, I'm also certified in the National Academy of Sports Medicine, which is NASM, to be a personal trainer, as well as having a localized bartending license as well. For those who are embarking upon any journey of additional or higher education. My wisdom or perspective would be, own the journey. Our degrees offer us an opportunity to provide a foundation of what we know, but they are not the definition of who we are. The experience of what you learn and then moving forward with its application in life for yourself and others is just as important. Recognize we are consistently and constantly learning from others. That will always be the case, and it does not stop with a degree. They are milestones on your journey and the experience of its application. Recognize and acknowledge the journey and the path that you're on, and use these milestones from an educational standpoint in a formalized setting or otherwise to achieve your new heights and your path.
Thank you so much for that great advice. Own your journey and use all of your educational experiences for service. Thank you so much, Dr. Ian Brooks. It's a pleasure to have you here on the Empowerment Zone.
Yeah, thank you, Ramona.
A special thank you to the incredible team of the Empowerment Zone. Terry Ongully, theme song, NADWORKS, digital support, and of course, our featured guest.
If you enjoyed my podcast, please subscribe. We are on all of your favorite podcast platforms. Be sure to rate us on Apple Podcasts too. Thank you for your continued support.